and welcome to another episode of Pandemic Fine. I'm Steph, and I'm here with
your husband, John.
my most reliable guest. I have not posted any podcast in a while. I'm getting really out of sync with what I thought was going to be something I could keep up with, but June was just like a ridiculous month, so I apologize. I know that all dozen of you who listen to this were just waiting on pins and needles for the next episode, and it's finally here, so you're welcome.
You can stop taking sick leave from your jobs.
Hopefully you can recover from this distance we've had. So yeah, it's June. We're going to talk about some summertime stuff today and circle back on a few things that have happened in previous episodes, and yeah, let's get right into it. So it is now officially summer. I've been out of school since I'm a teacher. I get summer break too for a week and a half, 2 weeks.
I guess. I don't know.
A week and a half, I think. I don't know. I'm not in the swing of things yet. It does not feel like summer for me yet. I'm not like relaxed and enjoying the time. I'm still like running around doing kid camp stuff and sending emails, and I even got a few assignments emailed to me this week, so, you know, it never ends. But yeah, it is technically summer, so we're technically going to talk about, you know, summertime stuff. So let's see here. First of all, one of the things that I talked about in, I think it's episode 4 with my friend John, the other John, about parenting during a pandemic was that, like, the best part about the pandemic was slowing down and not having, like, stuff every single weekend, every single day. And I thought maybe we were going to hold on to a little bit of that because I feel like a lot of other people talked about how that was a nice silver lining. But we're right back at it.
And we're very unpracticed.
Yes, and it's not going well. Going back to, like, the regular, you know, level of like sports practices and, you know, end of the year events was not an easy transition. And reminded me why June is always a really hard month for teachers. I think it's harder for teachers who are also parents, and just hard in general for parents, in that order. Because there's 500 things going on and they seem to all be crammed into the final weeks of school. So, you know, there's final class parties, there's graduation, there's, you know, standardized tests for my students, at least in the secondary level. There's just so much going on. So it's an exhausting month, I think, for everyone who has kids. And that felt like things were right back to normal this year compared to last year when we didn't have graduation and no, like, big events were allowed to be held. This year it was, like, very intense and exhausting. For me, I don't know how you felt.
Also for me, I'm also tired. But I just remember when I was a kid, it was summers were go for a bike ride.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or like root around in the woods with a friend. Mm. I never had like structured camps. It's a New England thing. You always did. But yeah, so just the whole finding camps for your kids to be constantly entertained.
Yeah, I guess that
is different for me.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely went to camps when I was growing up. I don't know if that's a New England thing or not. Certainly, sleepaway camp is something a lot of other people did. I did it later in life, like in the last year of middle school and high school.
Late 20s.
In my late 20s, no. I was, you know, not like 10, like a lot of kids, you know, nowadays go when they're 10. Even some of our son's friends are going and they're only 8. They're going for 7.5 weeks. That is not something I'm ready for just yet, but I did grow up around that, so I'm comfortable with it. I don't know, like having the summers off and also having kids at the same time, I feel like adds a level of pressure to be the entertainer for me. So I either have to find them a camp or I have to plan activities for them. And it's not the same as throwing them to the woods and saying have a great day. Maybe we need to do that more often.
Yeah, I'm ready.
No, I'm too nervous about ticks. Sorry, it's not gonna happen. I'd be too paranoid. That's me. I think of all the worst scenarios. Let's see what else. Oh yeah, the other thing I was gonna say is that with all these like events and stuff that's happening, it just feels like we're back into the same hamster wheel of like, if you're not productive, you're not worthy. Like, if you're not productive, if you're not doing a million things, like, are you even really, like, doing this right? Like, you should be so busy all the time. Like, we are a busy culture. If you're not busy, you're not... that I thought that was going to end, and the pandemic has not done what I wanted it to do, which was to make my life a little simpler. I mean, I guess I have to do that. But I did see a good.
Yes, it's the virus's fault.
It's the virus's fault. COVID ruins everything, including my small hope that it would cancel a lot of obligations for me. I did see a meme on Instagram the other day that said, you know, that people associate worth with increasing your achievements over time. But the reality is your worth never changes, no matter how many achievements you get or don't get. And I think that's kind of the same for productivity. Like, you can still be a contributing member of society without being like super busy and doing everything all the time. You can take a break and you know, say no, and you're still the same level of productiveness. Does that make sense?
Yes, that was a meme.
Well, not a meme, whatever. A graphic,
Memes
whatever.
are supposed to make you laugh.
Whatever. You know what I mean. So, anyways, that's kind of what I've been thinking about lately is like, I just want to keep on slowing down. I don't want things to pick back up. And I just really thought everybody was on board with that during the pandemic. And now people are kind of getting back to normal. Let's see, what else did I want to talk about? Oh, yeah. How has been returning to work? Like normal times.
More people are trickling into my office now. And it seems normal. Nobody's doing the wearing the mask to everybody's work area because we all know we're vaccinated. It feels a little more back to normal there. But yeah, it's been good. I'm more productive, I think, when I'm in an office than at my house. I get too distracted. So, it's good to be back.
Look at you loving your productivity. It's the opposite of how I feel. Yeah, I feel like, you know, now that the mask restrictions are being lifted, I know that our county is about to be fully done with masks. I mean, fully done with the requirement of wearing masks in about a week. And I'm mostly over wearing masks. I think it's fine. But I realize that, like, not wearing a mask is a risk to, more of a risk to me than it is to other people. Because the likelihood that you're carrying it is pretty low. And so it's really to the unvaccinated people that I say, either get the vax or
Yeah, get on
put on a
board.
GD mask. What the heck?
Get on board or, you know.
Get the fuck out. I mean that pretty much literally.
I don't want anyone to get sick. But I'm also not running around, licking water fountains.
Hopefully no one is.
There's
That's
I'm
true.
doing the best I can to not get myself sick, and I wish everyone would do that.
Agreed. Actually, speaking of water fountains, and when you were talking about going back to work, I made me think of this. When I was back at work, I was back at work in person from like April through the end of the school year, and you know, every once in a while at work, like once in a blue moon, I treat myself to a little vending machine snack or drink. Little bevy. And during one of my breaks, like maybe a couple weeks ago, I like dug out the $1.25 and was like, today's the day for a Diet Coke. I'm getting myself a Diet Coke. What a treat. I'm on the top floor of the school. It literally takes a good 7 minutes to get down to where the vending machines are. So I walk my butt all the way down the stairs, all the way over to the vending machines, only to find that they were turned around so you couldn't get anything because of COVID. That's not a thing. No one ever said vending machines were the super spreader events. Why can't I have my Diet Coke?
Yeah, wouldn't it just take like one Clorox wipe down the buttons?
Right, or I could just use hand sanitizer and like not lick my hands. I don't understand.
I'd like to make my selection with my tongue.
Well, then you get to have whatever diseases you get. Yeah, I just feel like, you know, I'm very much irritated now by like performative COVID precautions. Like, let's do things that are science-based. Turning a
Well,
vending machine around when the COVID virus spreads through the air seems a little inane, if you ask me.
right. I will say that, we are fortunate to live in an area where I think a lot of the community took, the precautions seriously, and I think we were like one of the highest vaccination percentage counties in America, and so we're fortunate to have that. And I really hope that people take away, I definitely will, come winter time, maybe when after this whole pandemic thing's over, putting on a mask if you're not feeling well. Maybe that won't be taboo. And, you know.
Yeah, I support that.
I think that, I mean, I haven't been, when you think about a given year, we usually get sick, what, 3 times maybe? We've really gotten sick, like, maybe once since this whole thing started. And that's because
people are being cleaner about breathing on each other. Yeah, I do hope that masks are around for, like, flu season a little bit. I don't know if it needs to be every day all the time. I will say, like, giving a lecture in a mask is really challenging.
If you're feeling under the weather, but you still need to press on,
yeah,
put a mask.
Well, that's the other thing. Why are we continuing to press on? This is what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't mean you're less productive just because you're not feeling well and you take a day off. And I think that that attitude is very pervasive in American culture, that if you're feeling a little bit sick, you go anyways, until the point where you're, like, really sick and you're still at work, because the culture is such that taking sick days is, like, a big to-do. I'm over that mentality. But speaking of summertime, I want to talk about how different this summer is than last summer, but also how different, like, everything, you know, is now become since 2019 summer, and what we did then. You probably don't remember this, but in 2019, we went to, like, a million concerts over the summer. That was the concert series for us. And so, then last summer, it was going to be even more concerts. I had bought tickets for so many concerts, and all of them got canceled, obviously. And now this year, a few of them were rescheduled for September, but I still don't know if that's really even going to happen.
Depends on the venue and I think the artist, how popular they are.
Why? You think a loser artist is going to be allowed to have their concert, but the popular ones aren't?
Oh, no, I just mean, what am I willing to go to?
Oh, stop. I'm willing to go to all the same concerts I booked tickets for last summer. I know what he's referring to. Just say it.
What was it? It was like,
not was. What is it? It's still happening. It's in September.
I forget her name.
Oh, gosh. Ani DeFranco and the Indigo Girls.
There we go.
I'm very excited about it. I'm waiting now 2 years to go see him. No, that's not true. A year and a half. Whatever. Her.
Perhaps there's a lady friend you'd like to see instead.
I don't know why you're so against it. He thinks it's Lilith Fair round 2. Which I never got to go to, but I would have. So yeah, definitely a different summer. Things are looking up, but it's still not, you know, not back to total 2019 level concert going. I also feel like we never get a babysitter anymore, which obviously, like, during COVID, nobody was going anywhere, like, until this past spring or maybe even, like, May. So we didn't have anywhere to go, so we didn't get a babysitter for the past 18 months or so. And now that we're, like, starting to reemerge and we could maybe go out to dinner together or something, like, getting a babysitter feels like such a daunting task because I don't trust my children to behave themselves at all for another person.
They've had no, like, no routine social interaction in the last 18 months where they've had to say please. I mean, they say please and thank you with us, but, like, now they're, like, shy around other people, and it's...
I don't really care if they say please and thank you. I mean, I do, but, like, that my bigger concern is how are they going to handle bedtime with a stranger?
Right. I think it'll be fine. I don't... You know, if you want to babysit my children, it comes with the territory. And I'm sorry, you're not just... I want you to work for it a little bit. This isn't just to sit on the couch and...
Okay.
Watch a movie.
Well, as someone who never babysat, that sounds like a great expectation. As someone who has, I think it would be nice.
I never needed to be sat. I had older siblings.
That's true. You always had older siblings to deal with you. You know, we do have a babysitter coming up for the first time in an evening situation in July. Mm. So, prepare yourselves.
I think there should be like a post-pandemic finishing school for children. Maybe like the last week of school should have been focused on, you know, okay, here's how you eat at a restaurant again.
Yeah. Last time we were at a restaurant, my daughter was planking on the booth. It was like a shared booth, like a really long booth that, like, was other tables set up, and she's just, like, planking on the part where people's butts go. I was like, can you not? What is happening right now? Mm-hmm. Get your face off of the seat. So yeah, I don't know what this babysitting situation is going to be like. It'll be interesting. And yes, post-pandemic finishing school, I think, applies to everyone. We went to a social event last night and, interacted with other adults. And I basically spent, like, the first half an hour after we came home rehashing the entire conversation we had with every person we spoke to. And be like, was that normal? Did that sound fine? Was it okay that I said this? Was it okay that I said that? I'm just, you know, I'm not used to hanging out with, like, large groups of adults, that some of whom I know and some of whom I don't. Am I still able to behave myself? What's your rating? What do you think?
Oh, I completely agree. Like, I don't want to, like, you know, I prefer not dealing with other humans. Like, like DoorDash is my new best friend. Mm. And same with Instacart. You never used that stuff before. But, you know, I don't want to have the small talk with the grocery store checkout person.
Oh, I'm so sorry. That was
bothering
you.
And I also don't want to go through that scanning all of my things if I'm doing a big trip.
Oh. Well, aren't you enjoying these perks?
I do. So, I mean, I don't analyze maybe as much as you do. But...
you also don't have any desire to interact with the other humans. Right. Okay, well, that's one way to put it. One of the things that we did during the pandemic to try to, you know, keep things interesting and slightly normal was we started subscribing to this, like, date box that we could do at home since we couldn't really go anywhere. It's called Happily. This is not sponsored, by the way. This is, you know.
It was a once-a-month thing.
It's a once-a-month thing, yeah.
Now, I will preface this with, we have about 8 Happilies stacked up and happily unopened.
I just, you know, it really caught up with us. We did 2. We did 2 of them. And then the rest just, like, have piled up. And it makes me, like, it just, like, haunts me every time I walk past the pile of, like, you don't ever have time for a date anymore. Like, even if it's at home and all you have to do is open this box. It's taunting me. So I just thought maybe for today's podcast we could open one and see what's inside.
Maybe we should do speed dating. Like, we get all 8 out here. And,
and just go through each box. We'll start with one. So, again, not a sponsored ad. I don't dislike them. It's just a matter of finding the motivation to, like, after the kids go to bed, do I really want to do, like, a date in a box
thing? The couple we did were fun when you get into it. But
yeah, we did one that was a escape room, which was good, but also, like,
sounds the room.
Right, without the room. It was good, but more math than I was probably hoping for. And the other one we did was, like, a...
I love math on a date.
The other one I did was, like, what did we do? Like, a love quiz or something.
Yeah, which, surprise, surprise, I won.
I mean, I feel like he was cheating. But you had to answer questions that you thought, like, how you thought the other person had responded. I guess, what is that called? The dating game?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did lose. It's fine. All right. So, let's see what this box says. We've opened it up. It says, date prep. Here's the materials you'll need to have on hand to make the most of your date. Well, I can tell you right now, we're probably not doing this date, you know, live on this podcast because the dating prep stuff is cooking materials. Water, eggs, microwave-safe bowl. But let's see. Ooh, I'm excited. Okay. It says, welcome to your date. It's time to get creative and have some fun together. Channel your inner Picasso and paint a masterpiece. Oh, John, don't you love painting and crafting?
No, I'm an accountant. I don't like art. I appreciate it from afar.
It says, let loose with your babe. Take your time and enjoy the process. Can't you just let loose and enjoy the process of becoming Picasso-like?
So each one of these comes with, like, a cooking thing, too?
Yeah, it usually comes with, like, a food item and an activity. So the food item in this box is cake pops, which could be fun. I'll probably make them tomorrow with my daughter, not with John.
Yeah, that's what you've been using.
Perfect, what activity for kids. And the paint, I'm going to make you do this,
I'd be
now.
Okay if the kids did my paint.
No, you have to try the paint. I've always wanted to do a paint night with you. Before the pandemic, I did, you know, a couple of paint nights. In fact, I think my birthday in 2019, I met a bunch of girlfriends at one of those painting cafes, paint and sip wine things. Why don't you ever want to come?
I think this goes into being a parent. I'm not the messy parent. Stephanie does all the slime and the... I'm okay with Play-Doh. Play-Doh's kind of my limit.
Mm-hmm.
But...
he really hates slime.
I hate it. And you keep buying it for them. And they keep getting it everywhere.
They love it, though. It's, it makes
the kinetic
so
sand
comfy.
Is... I just want to find whoever invented that and bury them in their own creation.
All right. So we will save the painting activity and the cooking for later. But we have time for the cake chat questions. Are you ready?
Okay.
What are 3 small details that you love about me? Be specific. Try and share something that you love but may not even realize you notice.
What?
I don't know. That's what it
says. That doesn't make any sense.
Okay, fine. You can think about that one. I'll come back to that one. What's one silly or serious thing that I don't know about you? I and the 12 people listening to this podcast right now.
That you don't know about me?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know everything about me. I don't know. I don't like to be put on the spot with these date questions.
Oh, so lame. Okay, one thing that you probably don't know about me is that in addition to being really into... What? Oh, sorry. All right, you don't want to ask me that question?
Right.
I'm asking myself a question. What do you not know about me? And the answer is, in addition to listening to true crime podcasts, what you might not also know is that I also got really into scam podcasts. Not that the podcast was a scam, but podcasts about scams in particular. Catfishing, like, money-grubbing boyfriends.
Right.
Is that not interesting to you?
I feel like that kind of goes with true crime.
It is, but it's not like murders.
It's not a murder, it's just a...
I mean, they seem a little trashier, so I've kind of kept them more to myself.
It's usually kind of... I don't want to say dumb ladies...
Well, I don't know if they're always dumb, but it's fascinating to me.
Not reading the...
Yes, that's what I think is interesting about them. Like, what is going on in these women's heads that they are...
What happened to warning signs?
Right, that they can't see these red flags. Are the guys really that great looking? Are they really that good in bed? I can't figure it out, and you're
right. Did you ever have any red flags with me?
No. A red flag means you don't go through with it. If I'd even won, I'd be second guessing.
It could be like a warning flag. A yellow flag. Yellow flashing...
No. But I do feel that I was duped on one thing in our relationship prior to marriage. Right. You promised you would start trying more vegetables when we had kids.
I do.
You do not. You pick vegetables out of every dish we have.
I'm not going to touch an onion. You knew that about me.
And most other vegetables.
They're disgusting. And you tell me, they don't taste like anything. Then why put them in something?
They do taste like something, but they don't have like a bad taste.
It's a texture.
I just can't believe it.
It's a texture.
Okay. You can ask me one of these. Cake chats.
Alright. Okay, I like this one. What's one quirky trait I have that you like? That you like.
I like. Quirky trait that I like about Dawn. What is a quirky trait that I like about Dawn? He's very on top of the tech world, which is a little bit quirky. But he always tells me the latest info and is often my most reliable person during packing to get all the chargers in one location.
So usually, if I were like driving somewhere and I want to say, oh, I read this interesting article about this, you know, technology, you're like, you're only allowed to tell me one tech thing.
That's not true. I don't put a limit on tech things. I put a limit on car things.
Oh, and cars.
John does like to tell me a lot of things about cars. And I'm like, okay, you can tell me one more thing and then the rest you have to save and intersperse them throughout the week.
Okay, all right. Oh, here's a good one. What are the most special memories you have of us?
When we met, I think was our most special memory for me. Like, just our most of our early dates were in Europe because we met on a trip to Europe. And so, like, being in Greece together was amazing.
Yeah.
And also other special memories, I would say, would be, like, going to Asia together, both alone, but also to pick up our son, and going to Hawaii with our son and our daughter. Those are some special memories. Why do they all surround vacations?
Right.
Can you tell I'm interested in getting out of my house?
Anything special in the last 18 months of this pandemic?
Oh,
we haven't gone anywhere?
Probably not anything in particular, but you know what? Would I have wanted to be stuck in the house with anyone else? No. I don't hear you returning that comment.
I agree.
Okay, sure. Sure you. Anyways, well, this is not sponsored by Happily. We have now just done a few of the Happily cake chats, and now you know what came in this month's box. I'll keep you posted on how our paintings turn out. So I'm going to force John to
do it. We're willing to sell some.
No, we are not.
For half price.
We are not. All right, let's see. Okay, last summer was the first summer I ever saw you read books. And you read a bunch of books.
At the beach.
Yes. Are you planning? Now you're outing us is we have left our house and we have gone on vacation this year. Now we sound super ungrateful, John. We did go to the beach last summer, but it was with a lot of other people. And
oh, that's just getting worse. This is not making it sound better.
I've had family members, so it wasn't the same as our usual vacation. Anyway.
You know all those beaches you read about getting shut down? We were there.
No. Anyway, I'm wondering if you are setting any reading goals for yourself this summer.
I don't like to set goals. But for something...
What a great way to live.
If it's like something extracurricular, I don't care. It's professional, sure. And family. But, I mean, I just don't want to, like, let myself down. Why set a goal?
What's wrong with your self-confidence? If you can meet the goal, then you're not going to let yourself down. That's the whole idea.
Well, if you can meet the goal, why set it? Oh, Lord. Then maybe you didn't set it high enough.
I feel like we're talking in circles here.
Well, I just think it's kind of a silly...
Okay, well, I'm setting one of those silly goals.
You've always been into that stuff, like giving something up for Lent, or you like the challenge like that, and I appreciate that. That's fine for you.
You appreciate having no challenges. Your life is very easy.
I just want to breeze through.
Well, what a great C+ student you've always been.
There we go, yeah.
Just kidding. I don't know what his grades are. Well, my son and I are going to do a reading challenge. You are no longer invited.
Well, isn't it you have to read like 30 books?
Why?
Oh, I'll give you maybe 2.
Oh, Lord. We're reading 20 books. That's the goal. And I've already finished 1. I'm 1 book down, 19 to go, and it's going to be now, great.
Is it a competition with
No,
you?
It's just a goal.
Okay.
And I just finished reading a book called Black Buck, and it was really good, and I wanted to give it a little plug. Again, not sponsored. This is...
a deer?
No. Black
or
Buck.
Dollar.
Yeah, like a dollar. So Black Buck is a book by Mateo Ascaripur. It's his first novel, and it's about it's sort of like a satirical novel about workplace. In fact, people who are actually in like a legitimate workplace, is not like a school, will probably appreciate it more than I could because I don't necessarily relate to a lot of that. But it's about a black guy who works for this like white-owned startup and like kind of turns the tables on the CEO's strategies, and a lot of things happen. I don't want to say much more, but it was really interesting. And I did not know, this is the thing that surprised me the most, is that the term black buck, I feel like I should have known this, is a derogatory term that was used during the Jim Crow era to describe, it was either black buck or black bull, like both of those terms were used to describe somebody who like absolutely refused to obey like white laws. And so it was used a lot in like Birth of a Nation, which is like that horrible like racist movie from 1922 or something, where it's all about like a black man, people chasing a black man who supposedly like, you know, raped white women and, you know, refused to obey any of the laws, things like that. The sort of stereotypical like justification of putting down black men historically. And so that's the name of the book as well. And I didn't know that before I finished it today. So I thought that was really interesting because it's sort of like the reverse idea in the story. It's like taking what white laws have produced and like turning the tables back on the CEOs. Anyways, it was good, and it was also funny. I'm not making it sound funny right now, but it was actually quite funny. And I recommend it. That was a good first book to start with this summer. What book are you going to read this summer? Any big plans?
I don't know yet. Still just...
Oh, God forbid I'm you gonna... commit. God forbid you commit.
I'm going to let the book find me.
Oh, Lord. Okay. Yeah, I guess we'll see what happens there. I just can't wait to find out what you pull out of your tote bag at the beach this summer.
Well, when we're at the beach, I am the get in the water guy.
Oh, I know what you wanted to say there. You wanted to say I'm the fun parent.
No, I didn't say that.
You implied it. It's true, though. I'm more of a pool gal. You're more of the beach guy.
You don't like sand or water or creatures in general.
Mm-hmm. I do like water, just not in ocean form.
Right. In ocean form, if it's crystal clear, you can see to the bottom, and there's...
Yes. No sharks.
The resort has killed off all wildlife.
Very environmentally friendly, except for the ocean creatures. Anyways, well, we'll have to keep our listeners posted to see if John finishes a book this summer. Next week is our first trip away, and we'll see if he is able to not meet a goal, certainly not take on the challenge, but just simply be and finish a book. All right. Well, that's it for Pandemic Fine, and we'll talk to you again next week if I can stay on the schedule. Bye.